Well, it's such a blessing for me to be here to celebrate Mass with all of you this morning. I spent most of my summer at a program for seminarians out in Omaha, Nebraska. And the goal of this program was to allow the seminarians to have a break from all of their academics and their apostolic work, and to do what we hear Jesus, or the Father, I should say, tell Peter, James, and John in our gospel today. And that is simply to listen to Jesus. And so we began the summer with an 8-day silent retreat. And when we came out of the retreat, the men were almost completely unanimous in admitting that the retreat was a kind of mountaintop experience of God, like the disciples Peter and James and John experienced of the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain today. Because you see, if you are quiet enough, if you're silent enough before God, if you really give him time to listen, he will speak to you. Now, he typically doesn't say much because he doesn't need to. The weight of the few words that God speaks mean more than all the words ever spoken by anybody in time. And as it was for Peter, James, and John on that mountain today, once you hear God's voice speak to you, you will be changed forever. Now, at this point, perhaps a few questions are rising in your heart. First of all, how do you do this? How do you hear God speak? Well, I admit it's not easy, and especially today, because St. John of the Cross once said that God's first language is silence. And I'm convinced that it's this lack of silence which leads to the absence of God in people's lives, which is causing so many people to literally die. So many people today lack meaning in their lives. And this is playing out in many ways, but I recently read that 1 in 7 Americans is addicted to some form of unhealthy substance. And sociologists say, well, why is this? But we know why. Because people are desperately searching for meaning and purpose in their lives. But they do not know the only one who can give meaning and purpose to their lives. And that's such a tragedy, because God is still speaking. God has not left us, but it's us who are not listening because we fill our lives with so many distractions. Another question arises, well, how do I know it's God speaking and not just my own thoughts? That's a good question. And there's two ways that you can test this. First of all, his words are always in line with what he has spoken through divine revelation, through scripture, and through the teachings of the church. God cannot contradict himself. Another thing to look for is very often his words are surprising. They're not what you expect. And sometimes they're not exactly what you necessarily wanted to hear. And we see how this plays out in our gospel today. The words that the Father speaks over Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." These words are a fulfillment of a prophecy made long ago in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses tells the people of Israel that when he's gone, someday God would send a prophet just like him. And when he comes, the people need to listen to him. It's fulfilled in Jesus. And these are also the same words that the Father speaks over Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan River. And so they're completely in line with everything that God has spoken throughout salvation history. But they're also quite surprising words. Now, Peter, very understandably, he doesn't really know what to do in this incredible experience he has of the glory of Jesus. And so we hear he offers to build 3 tents, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. But the Father's response to this offer is basically to ignore it, because he doesn't want Peter to do anything. Rather, first he wants him to simply listen to Jesus. Because as I said earlier, God is still speaking, but so many people are not listening because they fill their days with endless distractions, very often in the form of technology. Now, I'm not saying that technology is evil, but it can become a tool for the evil one if it's not used correctly. And do not be fooled. Satan hates you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants you to be miserable, lonely, and hopeless. And he does this by convincing us to follow cleverly devised myths, as we hear St. Peter warn about in our second reading today. Scripture says that Satan is the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. That's all he can do is lie. But what he does is he puts just enough little pieces of truth in his lies to make us believe them. He knows our blind spots. He knows our weaknesses, and that's exactly where he goes after us. And you know it's him because he's always disquieting. He never brings true peace. But he's not very original. There's one lie that he's used since the dawn of time, and we've all believed it since Adam and Eve. And that is, God is not our loving father. He does not love us. We cannot trust him. God, however, always speaks the truth. So we need to pay attention when he speaks. And so when we hear him say over his son, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased," we need to realize that he's, yes, speaking about Jesus, obviously. But do you realize he's also speaking about each and every one of us? These words apply to everyone who are made one with Jesus Christ through faith and through baptism. St. John, who we hear is on that mountain of the Transfiguration, he exclaims in his first letter, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. In Christ, we become the Father's beloved sons and daughters." Now, perhaps you realize that. Perhaps you've heard that before. But have you ever really received it? Have you allowed it to move from your head down into your heart? That in spite of all of our weaknesses, in spite of our sins, in spite of our mistakes, absolutely nothing can take away this identity that we have in Christ. In Jesus, we are beloved sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Now, the evil one tells us that our identity is found in our sins. Our identity is found in our struggles. But that's a lie. St. John Paul II told the youth of the world back in 2002, "We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us." Nothing, no one can take that away. The Father never leaves us. It's us who choose to leave him. But when we repent of our sins, when we come back to him, when we once again choose to receive our real identity, he's always there. His arms of mercy are always open to welcome us back home. And when you receive this, your true identity, when it moves down from just a head knowledge to truly receiving it in the heart, it changes your life. When you know that your Heavenly Father loves you no matter what, and you receive that as your identity, you don't have to worry about the opinion of other people anymore. You don't have to worry about the labels people try to put on you, because you know who you are. You're a beloved son. You're a beloved daughter. You're a redeemed sinner. And you know what? You start to take on that innocent happiness that children have, and you are truly free. That's what God wants for all of his children. And the Transfiguration that we hear today is a pledge that everything I just said is true. So St. John goes on to say, "Beloved, we are God's children now. When what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In other words, someday in heaven, we too, all of us, we will be transfigured just like Jesus was today in our glorified bodies in his image and likeness. But until then, we have to walk by faith. We have to believe that the Father's words are true. "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased."